They built ships before they had a nation. In 1919, the UNIA launched the Black Star Line, a fleet to sail black people, goods, and dreams across the Atlantic. It was owned by the people, funded by maids, farmers, barbers, and dock workers. The plan: repatriation, trade, liberation. But sabotage came quickly. Government agents, broken engines, corruption. The ships sank, but the vision stayed afloat. Because in every stock certificate and every rusted hull was proof that black people could dream big, build global, and fund freedom with their own hands. The Black Star Line didn't fail. It launched an idea no empire could sink. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. The Black Star Line, repatriation or ruin. They built a fleet before they had a nation and dared to sail toward freedom. It was a dream bigger than land, bigger than politics, bigger even than revolution. It was the dream of return. The return to Africa. The return to ownership. The return to self-determination. Not in theory, but in motion. In 1919, the UNIA launched the Black Star Line, a bold, unprecedented shipping company created by and for black people. Not just as a business, but as a symbol, a vessel of liberation, a fleet for the displaced. For centuries, ships had been used to steal Africans from their homeland. The Black Star Line would do the opposite. It would carry their descendants home, physically, economically, and psychologically. This was not charity. This was ownership, a vision at sea. At the height of the UNIA's influence, Marcus Garvey and his team unveiled the plan. A fleet of black-owned steamships that would connect the African diaspora to the continent itself. They envisioned cargo runs between the Caribbean, the United States, Central America, and West Africa. Not just passengers, but trade. Not just people, but power. To fund it, they sold shares to everyday black people, domestic workers, sharecroppers, porters, factory workers, who believed not just in the company, but in the cause. Over $800,000 was raised through community rallies, street corner speeches, and Liberty Hall investments. In a time when black people were denied bank loans, denied maritime licenses, denied respect, they simply created their own blueprint. The Black Star Line's mission was threefold: economic independence for the diaspora, repatriation pathways to Africa, a physical expression of black sovereignty on global waters, the ships and their struggles. The first ship acquired was the SS Yarmouth, renamed SS Frederick Douglass. It was purchased at an inflated price and was in poor mechanical condition. Still, the symbolism outweighed the rust. The ship was paraded in Harlem as a symbol of hope. Thousands turned out to see it. Children waved flags. Elders wept. For the first time in modern history, a ship was being launched for them. More ships followed, or were attempted to. But the Black Star Line quickly encountered heavy turbulence. Corruption from within, mechanical failures, inexperienced leadership, and worst of all, infiltration. Sabotage from within. The Black Star Line was being watched closely by the United States government. Federal agents infiltrated UNIA meetings, forged documents, and targeted the movement's business operations with legal traps. The Bureau of Investigation, the precursor to the FBI, had made Marcus Garvey and his vision a top priority threat. They weren't worried about violence. They were worried about black ambition. In 1922, Garvey was indicted for mail fraud, accused of misleading investors about the company's assets. The case was built on shaky grounds, propped up by internal spies, and largely driven by racial and political fears. Garvey was convicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison. With their leader on trial and their ships deteriorating, the Black Star Line began to sink, not just financially, but symbolically. Failure, or foundation. By the mid-1920s, the Black Star Line ceased operations. Ships were sold. Stockholders suffered losses. Critics declared the dream dead. But what they misunderstood was this: the Black Star Line wasn't about ships. It was about scale. It was the first time black people across continents had united their coins and convictions to fund a global enterprise. It was the first time the idea of African economic sovereignty had been made physical. And though the ships decayed, the idea remained seaworthy. Future movements would be inspired by the Black Star Line. Ghana's national shipping line, under Kwame Nkrumah, was named in its honor. Modern Pan-Africanists cite it as proof of black financial mobilization. And today, The very notion of reparations and transnational solidarity echoes its original mission. The Black Star Line did not sail forever, but it did something more important. It proved that Black people could fund, build, and launch freedom without permission. Final reflection. They tried to break the ship. They tried to jail the captain. They tried to drown the dream. But the tide had already turned. The Black Star Line was more than a fleet. It was a faith that our journey back to dignity might be long, might be broken, might be betrayed, but it would never stop. Because once a people have imagined themselves free, no ocean is wide enough to hold them back.